From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to A Juno Afternoon. It's Wednesday, July 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh Hawa for joining the conversation. On today's show, Juno's own Perseverance Theater is here to preview their upcoming 2023-2024 season. It's the 45th one. Betsy Sims is here with a preview of an unmissable marimba concert happening tonight. And we'll have our monthly check-in with the Juno Police Department. Those conversations, savory moments, star party, music, and more coming up this hour on A Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clene Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life, for today and for future generations. We'd like to take a moment and say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunath Cheesh to Vera Starbart, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave us additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. Community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. That was a little teaser of one of the first shows that will be happening this year at Perseverance Theater, which was founded in 1979 by Molly Smith. He ran the theater for 20 years before heading to Washington, D.C. to run one of the country's largest theaters, Arena Stage. The Perseverance Theater is now led by Leslie Ishii, Artistic Director, and Frank Delaney, Managing Director, and is on the verge of entering its 45th season. Remarkable. The mission of the theater is professional theater by and for Alaskans, and that guides the theater, and it's great that live performance is back and thriving after suffering through the pandemic. The theater had to find all kinds of interesting ways to keep doing things, and you can find out more about PT at ptalaska.org. Joining me to talk about the new season is Artistic Director Leslie Ishii. Hi, Leslie.
Hello. Thanks for having us, Boston.
Gunath Cheesh. Associate producer Joseph Biagini.
Hi.
Hi, Joseph. How are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
Of course. And Rio Alberto, who is the director of marketing and engagement, who took our picture right before we started because that's his job. Hi, Rhea. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Ganesh Teeth for you all being here and welcome to the studio. Before we talk about the season, I just wanted to wrap up last season a little bit because you had a new partnership in Anchorage performing with UAA or performing at UAA and that partnership. And that was a new space for you. How did that go for you last year?
I thought it went really well. And, you know, as teams come together, you learn a lot about each other. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you a better artist being in a new space. And by the way, thank you for your land acknowledgement. It's so thoughtful. And as we went up and we were on Denaina Ethnena and worked with that team and how can we be good stewards of that space as well, it was a really great learning process. And we're going to renew our partnership and extend it out really we hope for, we're talking about 3 years. Last year was a bit of a trial period and it went well. So we're looking at continuing.
And you had two of the plays perform there, which was The Great Leap and Little Women. And then you did another play last season to open the season, which was Where the Summit Meets the Stars by local author Frank Katass. Had some really wonderful actors in it, Aaron Tripp and also Jake Wade and our visiting friend, Kenny. Right?
That's right. Yeah. And Ed Littlefield.
Did that. Oh, that's right. They did that awesome music and sound that was in there.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, man. Ed's amazing. Ed is amazing. Okay. So congratulations on last season. I know Star, you're like right in the middle of Star now. You're training all the teenagers for future patrons and also artisans in the theater, right? And Rio, you're running that.
Yeah, correct. I have an incredible team of artists. We've got coming back again since 2021. We've got future Dr. MC Mahogany Magnetic, who's currently based out of Fairbanks, teaching playwriting and directing, as well as our returning artistic apprentice, now turned artistic fellow, Kylie Ferguson, who's leading directing. So this week's playwriting and directing. Next week, Grace Goodyear and myself will be teaching acting. And then we're rounding out with week three is going to be musical theater and production. So
wow,
we're in the throes of it.
That's pretty awesome.
It's exciting. And yeah. I think it's really affirming to know that the future of like Juno's performing arts is in such capable hands as these young artists. It's really, really magnificent. We are also joined by V. Roldan, who works with the Juno Douglas High School as their director and drama coordinator, and Tristan Cameron, who is also there on the team. So we've got a really stacked team right now leading the camp. So,
yeah. And the Star, the Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous, that goes back, I don't know, it's a long time. It's like, I mean, pretty soon after the theater started, it wasn't too long after that they started doing Star every summer. And because that is the future, right? Training young people to not only be artisans, but then also be patrons of the theater, even if they don't end up doing it as a profession. So that's really cool.
And the young people are responding so well. We've broken it down, like, you know, Rio was saying, so they can focus on their interest.
Oh,
or
nice.
Take the whole thing.
Right.
And so far, they're just doing beautiful work. Oh, my gosh. They're attending. They're active and loving every minute.
That's
so
awesome.
We have a guest artist with us also, Ariel Estrada, a Filipino playwright, director, actor. Also, he runs a theater, Leviathan Theater in New York. But he comes from Sitka, and he's so excited he's here to return home and work on his new work. And he taught a workshop today.
Oh, that's great.
To the students. So it's just... It's all happening.
That's so cool. Okay, so let's get an overview of the upcoming season, and then we'll dive into each play specifically, because I want to talk about each play specifically. So can you give us the titles and schedule for the upcoming season here in Juno, and also which of those plays might be going to Anchorage? Joseph?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We're excited about a lot of things coming up this year. Including a big renovation of our lobby. So those of you who are familiar with our space will find it refreshed as you're entering our doors. And, you know, blessed and visited by Molly Smith just last week. Sorry, I have to digress.
Yes.
Our founder was stopping through on her way to Haines, where she also lives. We had a wonderful opportunity to meet with her and her wife and get her blessing on our renovation and her support of our renovation and her blessing on our upcoming season, right?
Yeah.
So without further ado, first up, we have Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the timeless rock musical. You know, it is going to be playing in Juno September 15th through October 1st and going up to Anchorage shortly after that. Following that, we have A Nice Indian Boy by Madhuri Shekhar. That will be playing in Juneau, December 1st through 17th. And finally, Indecent by Paula Vogel, Pulitzer Prize winning author who premiered her Pulitzer work, How I Learned to Drive, here at Perseverance Theater. So we're excited to have a Paula play back on the stage for the first time in a number of years and be able to showcase her work. That will play in Juneau, February 16th through March 3rd, and also move to Anchorage shortly after that.
Okay, great. Okay. So the season in Juneau will wrap up, it sounds like, in March, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then you might have different things that would be announced throughout the season, readings of things, different little projects that might be happening, things that people should be on the lookout for. And I know they can find that at ptalaska.org, but also, Rio, why don't you give us the socials, like where we can find PT on the socials, because we want to be able to follow that. Because, you know, there might be people moving to town who don't know about Perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are on the social medias, if you will. You can find us on Facebook by just checking out Perseverance Theater. You can find us on Instagram under the same name as well, Perseverance Theater. If you go onto our website, ptalaska.org, you can also sign up for our newsletter where we're sending out some blasts to let folks know about any special discounts or offers, sneak peeks at shows, as well as some of those special offerings that you mentioned. I don't want to give away too much, but we've got a few fun things up our sleeves for this season that we're excited to be able to announce as they come along. PerseveranceTheater.org or Perseverance Theater on any of the socials, you can find us there. It's Perseverance is how I always have to sound it out because spelling, it's like Wednesday.
Yeah.
Say Wednesday.
People put the extra R in there a lot.
Yeah. Perseverance. Yeah. Perseverance.
Perseverance.
Yeah. Perseverance. Perseverance. Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. So let's talk about the shows that are coming in this season. First up, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is what we were playing. That was a song called Wicked Little Town, which is one of the main songs in the show. And I also hear that Mr. Biagini is directing this play.
That's right.
And you might also tell us about who might be starring in this play. But let's talk about the play itself first. It is sort of has become a classic. It was also turned into a film. And so a lot of people know this, it was rock musical, right? And tell us a little bit, what's it about and like, what's the style of it? How many people are in it? Is it really just like a rock concert in a play form?
You know, it really is a rock concert in a play form. That's a good way to put it. It gives you the energy of being at a rock show, a live show. You know, when they were developing the play, they were first doing it in dive bars around New York City where they would have small rock, punk, grunge shows. So it really wants to capture that energy and put you right there. And the whole play is built around this being a rock show. So it's over the course of one night. It's a singular, defiant performance witnessing the spiral of our anti-hero front woman, Hedwig, as she learns about herself, unpacks their history and reconciles the betrayal that she's experienced throughout their love life and all of her former relationships. So that's all woven into punk rock, classic rock, kind of glam rock is also where it gets a lot of its inspiration from. Above all, it's really fun. It's a winner of 4 Tony Awards, multiple revivals on around the country, and including one popular one with Neil Patrick Harris back in 2014. But I'm lucky to be working with my colleague Rio Alberto, who will be playing the titular role, Hedwig.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Awesome. I think I might have seen that on social media.
Yeah, it's been around a little bit. It's going to be a really great team. I'll let you tell more about the cast, actually, because there's some fun folks that are going to be joining us as well.
Oh, yeah. So the other singer and actor who will be taking the stage next to Rio is Salisa Thull, who has been on the Perseverance stage over the years, is a accomplished singer in town and really has a beautiful voice, sings in the high cost of living, sings with other groups, and we're excited to have her lend her talents to the play as well.
How many people in the cast?
So So it's actually just those two actors. And then we have a band who are also a bit characters in the show, I'll say.
Right. They play a role as part of the, they get reactions and things like that as things are happening.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really great. And is this your first directing experience at Perseverance?
On the main stage, yes, it is. Yeah. So I've been the associate producer, and that's where my artistic practice has been over the years for many years working with Perseverance. And I saw the opportunity to be of service, to help tell this story for the theater, for a community, and thought that I could help do it justice by stepping into this director role on this one, making my main stage debut. I'd directed other places before, but I'm happy to be up on the main stage for the first time.
And also, I just want to highlight this, Joseph, because I think mm-hmm. your journey at Perseverance has been pretty great. Like, you came in as an intern, right?
7 years ago.
You came in as an intern way back in the day. And then I think you left for about a year, and then you came back as an artistic fellow. Mm-hmm. And you did that for a couple years under the previous leadership of the theater. But you stayed on when everything changed around, right? And then you became artistic producer or associate producer, and have been sort of really helping the theater transition through the COVID pandemic, and being that person who's making things happen behind the scenes, being sort of a right-hand person to Leslie as she came in, because this is mm-hmm. going to be your third season, Leslie?
More like fourth.
Fourth season. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Just time flies.
In COVID.
Yeah. It all gets, yeah. It's all, time is weird with COVID.
Digital season.
The digital age. The digital era.
Yeah.
I remember because my partner was in some of those, and she had the green screen in our living room. So I know all about that. We had giant green screen carpets all over the place, sheets all up on the wall. And there was a lot of cool stuff that was done. And there was so much of that that helped theater stay alive during that time. So, mm-hmm. but it's just a great journey for you, right? I mean, you said it's been like 7 years since you were first intern.
Yeah, 7 years since I first flew to Juneau, not really knowing what to expect. And obviously, I fell in love with the city here and have been so thankful to grow my leadership through this role and really sculpt the way project management and producing and production management happen at Perseverance.
And I also know we're going to talk about this with the second play a little bit, but you're also the casting director for the
yeah,
theater
that,
as well.
That all follows under the producer role.
The producer
role. Yeah.
Somebody's got to find the people who are in the plays, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And Hedwig and the Angry Inch, how long is it? Is it a one act?
It's a one act, yeah. I'd say 80 minutes about is where we'll land.
So it really takes place over the course of one concert, really. And
it's
drama unfolds during all of that. And it's all about sort of the history of sort of a botched surgery, right? And sort of dealing with some of the trauma that goes along with that. And you can maybe guess what the title means a little bit then, if you know that.
Yeah.
So there's some really, it's like drama, but there's some humor in it, but there's a lot of great music. And there's like, you heard a little bit of the style in that one song we played, Wicked Little Town, but there's some stuff that jams in there too. So are you're just going to be going to town here, Rio.
Oh, get ready. As someone who's like been told kind of for a while, or at least when I was much younger, that I didn't have a musical theater sounding voice.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, okay. I'll be fine because shows like Hedwig exist, and this show calls for rocking out. And so, having Salisa to be there on stage with me, just like it's described as vocal pyrotechnics is what Salisa is going to be doing on stage. It's so exciting. It's a dream come true. To your point, it deals with kind of, you're watching someone kind of spiral out, and you're learning about them as they're kind of doing the show in this, what you learn is a probably pretty reluctant venue. And you're learning that this person's probably performing out of spite to get back at a bigger rock star. And it deals
Isn't
with
it like in a parking lot or something?
It's supposed to be in like the parking lot of an Outback steakhouse that they then found a building that was like, I guess we have a roof for you.
Right.
And it's, when you describe it, it doesn't sound like it, but this show is so funny.
Yeah.
You say, oh yeah, no, it's a person that was a victim of a botched sex operation that was human trafficked to the United States by a United States, military
sounds
officer.
Sounds dramatic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It sounds really hardcore. Then you're like, and it's so funny, and people are like, what? But
like,
hopefully,
wait, but
there will be a
be.
Number of audience members here in Juneau that will remember the 2005 production, which had Rory Stitt as Hedwig, and so those folks will definitely know what they're going to be in for, and they know it's going to be a roller roller coaster, and it's going to be a great rock show. Like, that's the other thing, is that it is a rock concert is what we're putting on. And, you know, for newer audiences that are coming into it for the first time, they're going to kind of get lost in Hedwig's world a little bit too, and hopefully walk away just like a maybe with their head spinning a little bit, but definitely humming a tune, definitely ready to rock out, maybe feeling like, wow, I got to get myself some denim or some leather or something, you know? Yeah.
That sounds good. And I know, is it Rory working on this production as well, coming back as a sound designer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're really happy to welcome him back. And he's going to help us sculpt the musical sound and the audio landscape for the audience. And it's great to have his ear because he's so familiar with the show already.
Yeah, longtime audience members in Juneau will remember Rory, I'm sure, from many of his performances at Perseverance and around town. And it's great that he's sort of become like a go-to sound designer in the world now too, which is pretty great. So that's cool. Okay, Leslie.
Yes.
Let's move on to the second play, A Nice Indian Boy. Will you tell us a little bit about this play?
Absolutely. I love this play. I also want to share with our audience that it's been performed all over the country. Mm. It's this really cool rom-com. It speaks to our families over time are getting more complex. They're mm-hmm. cross-racial. They're mixed race. We wanted to lift up our community that way. And also, we just want to speak to what happens when your child brings home their intended. And you go, oh, okay. There were things you didn't tell
us. That's your choice.
All the things, right? And how beautifully complex that is, and you know, the dynamics, and we can all relate on some level, whether it was a cousin or our own family, our own child, or you know, our niece or a nephew. But what I love about this is it just gets into the beautiful nuance of culture, how cultures clash, but then how they find understanding, and it's funny. In the complexity is a ton of humor.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to partner with Nimi Phillips with Spice.
Oh.
I'll just let out a little nugget. Nimi will probably do some choreography for us.
What?
Because we know Nimi. In fact, tonight is the Bollywood dinner and gala at Spice this evening. And Nimi is going to probably bring a little Bollywood to this production as well.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. And folks can look to get their Bollywood on, because I think Nimi's going to also teach Bollywood dance for the Jack.
Oh, nice.
So we just got a whole kind of wonderful programming going on in our community that lifts up Nimi and South Asian and Indian culture and celebrates our families and all that we go through and the relationships. So I'm excited for this. It's really
interesting. It brings up an interesting question too, because like at the old theme of, you know, this person that the lead character meets seems to be perfect.
Right.
But as you say in the thing, like one little missing detail, they're mm-hmm. white. Right.
Yes.
And so it has to do with, you know, cultures and recognizing that. And obviously, I'm going to assume, since it's a play, that a lot of lessons are learned and the parents figure some things out about the way they think about their world.
That's right. Yeah? And I love theater because we come and experience that together.
Yeah.
And we can learn about each other.
And we see ourselves. Right. When it's universal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the acceptance of a partner into a family, especially a large family, a close-knit family, mm-hmm. that can sometimes be difficult, right? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And I know that you're also, you're casting for this now. I saw a casting notice on the website at ptalaska.org.
That's right.
Yeah.
We just launched casting today, really. So we are excited to accept submissions for A Nice Indian Boy, and you can find out more about that on our website.
That's great. And you are casting all around Alaska. We do want to mention that Perseverance is a professional theater. Artists are paid. Mm-hmm. including the actors. There's a lot of theaters that pay everyone but the actors, but the Perseverance pays the actors. It's a commitment to be a professional theater by and for Alaskans. And so I'm sure that you're putting that casting notice out wide mm-hmm. to find people who can be in this play. What is the casting breakdown for this play since it's out there? How many actors are we looking for?
Yeah, we're looking for five actors. four of whom are Indian American. We have the parents, of course, mm-hmm. and then the son and daughter.
Mm-hmm. Siblings,
mm-hmm. yes. And then we have the son's partner, mm-hmm. a white man named Keshav.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. And you can find out the ages and everything at that casting breakdown. You can just go to ptalaska.org and you will see that there. And it is a rom-com, yes. as Leslie states. That sounds really fun. And that's in the middle of the season. And will that one be going to Anchorage?
That one will stay local here.
Okay.
Yeah, running December 1st through the 17th.
Okay, so right around December time mm-hmm. for that one. Okay, and then the last play, Indecent by Paula Vogel. We mentioned it before. We're talking to Perseverance Theater about their upcoming 23-24 season. We've mentioned Hedwig and the Angry Inch. We've mentioned A Nice Indian Boy. And now we're talking about Indecent by Paula Vogel. I'm talking with Leslie Ishii, Joseph Biagini, and Rio Alberto from the theater. Paula may be remembered here in Juneau because she wrote, not only was the play performed here, but she wrote How I Learned to Drive here in Juneau while working with Molly Smith back in the late 90s. And it had a local cast here. It was premiered here, and then it went on to win the Pulitzer Prize for drama as well as many other awards. And Paula has been a playwright for a long time. So tell us a little bit about Indecent. It has a really interesting backstory because the director was working at Yale and was working on a play, right? And then somehow got involved with Paula Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Yale's been such a major program and trained a lot of people in the theater sector.
Yeah.
And it's a great story. And I love this play, too, because it's set in the early 20th century. And it follows this true story around the controversial play, God of Vengeance.
Mm.
So it's got some history to it. And, you know, it echoes into the contemporary now, too, right? And it's about this groundbreaking Yiddish work that journeys from these stages of Europe to Broadway, mm. right? And here we have Broadway revitalized since COVID. And it faces, it talks about censorship
mm-hmm.
and the what we were talking about, the fierce opposition due to its lesbian protagonists,
mm.
you know? And so these are important conversations today. Yeah, and it's an ensemble-based sort of storytelling style, and there are also live musicians on stage that are a part of that ensemble.
Oh, that's going to be great.
So that's really exciting. It's also going to be directed by our very own Hannah Wolf.
Oh, Hannah Wolf, coming back to town to direct that. She directed mm-hmm. Fun Home.
That's
people
right.
will remember that as the most recent thing that Hannah directed.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah was born and raised here in Juneau, wonderful director. Now based out in Los Angeles. And that play, Indecent, won the Tony Award, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so that's really awesome.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been wanting to bring a Paula Vogel work back,
yeah.
whether it's Revival or this one. So it just worked out. We could finally get back around to it. And it feels like the timing's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and we're hoping she'll visit.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And that play closes the season in February, March, right?
That's
and then
right.
That one will be going to Anchorage.
I can also announce something very special about this production.
Yes, you can. I was going to ask.
Yes. So we have a wonderful actor that was Chicago-based, but is now here in Juneau on Klinkerani, who is the Dean of Arts and Sciences. Dean Karen Sakaitis is pre-cast in this play.
Yay.
So Karen will star in Indecent, and we're so excited that she'll be back on the boards. And she's been wanting to do this play for some time. It's very close to her heart and soul as she identifies as Jewish and also queer.
Yeah.
So it feels like just the right casting. Hannah and I can't wait for their collaboration.
That's going to be wonderful. So the season is kicking off in September with Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Season tickets, I would assume, are now available, Rio?
Yep, they're now available online. You can go to ptalaska.org. We've got the 3-show package for folks here in Juneau where you can see all 3 shows, the opening nights of all 3 for as little as like $36 per show. And then same thing in Anchorage. We've got a 2-show package for the shows going on up there. Season tickets are the only thing available right now. We will have an announcement about when individual show tickets will go on sale, which will probably be closer. Oh gosh, we're already in July. Oh my God. gosh, we're on this part of the year. Yeah. So up in August, we're probably going to get some of those tickets on sale. But great. Season tickets are on sale now.
That's what I was going to ask about. When would single tickets also be available? And of course, Perseverance always does the pay-as-you-can nights as well. Mm-hmm. Usually that first weekend, there's a couple of pay-as-you-cans.
Yeah. We're looking at potentially September 13th, I believe, is what we have on the calendar. I'm looking at our producer in hopes that I'm the correct dates.
Yeah. That's one of our pay-as-you-can. That's the preview performance. And then we'll also have a pay-as-you-can on September 17th, a Sunday.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I do want to put one more little plug in for Leslie's workshop, the voice workshop that happens Friday. We talked about that last week, but if you're interested in that, you can go to thejack.org to find out a little bit more about that on their Facebook.
And it's okay. I'll give a shout out. Yeah. We have UAS night. So if you're out on that, you know, near Auk Bay and a part of the university, come on out. We always have a UAS night. We will continue that partnership as well. And Perseverance is really proud and honored to support the Jack and their 50th anniversary celebration.
Yeah, happening next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have Phil on. We're going to talk about the Kathy Colehurst Ruddy Awards. Mm-hmm. Those have been announced. So we're going to talk about those tomorrow. But Leslie Ishii, Joseph Biagini, Rio Alberto from Perseverance Theater, thanks for coming in and sharing about the season.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's always a pleasure.
Up next, our monthly update with the Juneau Police Department. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Here's a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. A plant of the amaryllis family having an edible, succulent, pungent bulb. This is how dictionary.com defines the onion. This definition might sound over the top for such an ordinary ingredient, but think about it. Onions are juicy, ferociously flavored when raw, and eaten with gusto across the globe. And they really are related to ornamental plants like the Christmas amaryllis. But onions are also suspect, and we often use them to describe our fears about human nature. What are onions trying to hide beneath all those layers? On the other hand, what if we peel those layers away and find at the core nothing at all? All that crying when we're near onions doesn't help either. But here's a thought. When have you ever seen a cook laboriously separate the layers of an onion before chopping? Never. Common sense says keep the layers together. Which is probably why the word onion comes from the Latin unio, meaning union. Because no matter how many layers an onion has, no matter what is or isn't at the center, it's still one of the most single, indispensable vegetables. For dinner tonight, how about celebrating the complicated onion in all its succulent, pungent, highly edible glory, with a savory pot of French onion soup. Gather 6 big bulbs along with some butter, sherry, white wine, and beef stock. Don't forget a baguette and some melty cheese. While you're caramelizing the onions, it's going to take about 30 minutes. You can ponder the mysteries of human nature. Or just nibble on some Gruyere. Find the full recipe for celebratory French onion soup at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's time now for our monthly check-in with the Juneau Police Department. Today, we are joined live in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, by Deputy Chief David Campbell. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well. How are you today?
Excellent. Gunth Cheese for being here today. Appreciate it. So I want to start with just a little bit of safety, right? Because we've had some sadness in the news recently. Mm-hmm. We had a kayaker, Paul Rodriguez Jr., who is still missing, but probably presume they found some evidence that perhaps he hasn't survived. And then also unrelated to that totally, somebody jumping off the bridge. And for whatever unknown reasons that was. But and I know those instances aren't related, but it just brings up to talk about general safety that people should be aware of when they're going out and about into the world, but also what we as people who may be witnessing something should be doing and what signs we might be looking for before we call the police, or if we have even question, should we just call? Like if we see somebody standing on the bridge, we should probably call, right?
Yeah, I would say that if you're going to err on the side of over-reporting as opposed to under-reporting, because we can't do anything about something we don't know about.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of things, not only for things that are happening, but also, I talked to a lot of people who are concerned about, like illicit drugs in the community. And they say, oh, my neighbor has a lot of short-term traffic. I'm like, well, that's the kind of thing you should be reporting, because we just don't know unless we're told. And sometimes it's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And the information that somebody has in and of itself might not seem like much. When you put it together with all these other little pieces, it kind of paints a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows us to move forward. But the things that you mentioned are definitely concerning. I don't know how old the people were that jumped off the bridge, but I'm the father of two boys. Well, I should say men. They're in their late 20s and early 30s now. But I just think that it's important for people to understand that, it doesn't take long for tragedy to strike. And, mm-hmm. and you really need to be cautious in the decisions that you make. I don't know a whole lot about the case involving the kayaker. That was not our case. That was
a trooper case.
I just think that there's some general safety advice. Like if you're going somewhere, give somebody a safety plan. Let them know what's going on. So if you're overdue, the search can start sooner.
And
make sure you wear protective equipment.
Tell somebody like I'm going out. If I'm not back by such and such, I plan to be back by such and such a time.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Chief Mercer was just this last weekend took a trip, and about every 30 minutes, I got a little text saying I'm now passing this location. I'm now here, and it was just nice, because then that was just one little piece of safety. And I like to boat. I'm a boater, but I also like to go out alone.
Yeah.
And It's peaceful. It's quiet. It's a good time to reflect. But when I do that, I make sure that I have my life jacket on. I have a kill switch attached to me to the motor. I have all these little things that I don't necessarily do when I've got a bunch of people with me. I probably should.
Right.
But I think especially if you're doing something alone, really make sure that you take those little things into consideration, proper clothing. And then there's a lot of things that electronics can do to aid as well. Like the spot, the chief has a device called the spot. And if he gets into trouble when he's out hunting or hiking, he can hit it and it will, send out an emergency a beacon for him.
Right.
I think that a lot of times people just kind of get the feeling like they're invincible and, oh, it's not going to happen to me. And, what history has shown us is that we aren't invincible. And things can happen.
It's a great reminder we live in a beautiful place, but also sometimes a dangerous place.
Absolutely.
And so err on the side of being prepared, like you said.
Right. This morning when I came in, when I left my house, it was like a absolute torrential downpour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just coming down.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, I looked at my window and half the sky was blue. It was beautiful. Then when I get in the car to come here, well, gosh darn it, it's raining again.
Welcome to Juneau.
Exactly. So you got to be prepared. You have to make sure that you have safety plans in place. You let people know because, tragedy can strike, and an ounce of prevention is the old saying, right?
Right. Absolutely. So. Listen to your mom, basically. Right?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Correct. So let's talk about a few other things.
Sure.
Let's catch up on staffing, because every time y'all are in here, I'm asking about it, because last spring, I think it was, there was a big deal deal made about the bonuses that were going to be being right. offered to folks. And hopefully that was going to incentivize, because we were down a number of officers. We're down in all different communities, nursing, everywhere. Correct. But like the police department was down pretty heavily.
Policing as a profession has been down across the country for years. It kind of feels like the rest of the world has kind of caught up to what the police department has been facing.
Gotcha.
But it does definitely exacerbate things. We are currently down 14 officers, and that's a lot. You know,
It's a little lower than it was before, though, right?
It is. But, you know, when you start looking at it, you know, we have one officer that just recently finished the Public Safety Academy in Sitka. That officer is in field training, so they're not, I guess, you know, carrying water. You know, they're not a standalone officer. We're swearing in a new officer tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He's been working with us for about a month, and he's going to go off to the academy on Sunday. And then we've made a job offer to a lady from Florida who's going to be coming up at the end of August. So we're slowly making inroads. But then, you know, like Chief Mercer retires on the last day of this month.
Right.
So, you know, when you start forecasting, you know, the potentials of people retiring, and, you know, we have to do better than bringing on, you know, one person at a time type of thing. So I kind of feel like almost the perfect storm is kind of brewing, in that the assembly, the city government, just recently, earlier this spring, announced hiring bonuses that are pretty significant. So a person that doesn't have any police experience can now qualify for a hiring bonus of $25,000. And if you're a lateral, which means that you meet the definitions for APSC to not have to go to the academy, already an officer in Alaska or down south that just only has to go to the 2-week academy, then it's $30,000. And then we have a reoccurring bonus where when an officer hits the 4, 8, 12, 16, and 20-year mark, it's another $10,000. You know? So it adds up pretty quickly. So then there's that portion of it. And then we also have hired a recruiting firm for us. We spent about a year going through the process, you know, having a competitive bid go out through the city, you know, selecting a vendor. The vendor came to town in late June, and we spent about a week, you know, shooting videos and meeting with staff and really looking to brand the police department. Because I think JPD really occupies this special niche that would appeal to officers, and I don't think we've been doing a very good job at telling our story. So that's why we're hiring a professional to help us tell our story. I've been to lots of recruiting fairs, and I always tell people that, you know, being a police officer is a two-part question. The first part is, do you want to be a police officer? Right? Because, like you said, everybody is hiring. Right. So the next question is, where do you want to be a police officer? Because, again, everybody is hiring. And, you know, it's a different experience if you are a state trooper, regardless of what state you're in, versus a municipal officer. You know, being an officer in Seattle is going to be much different than being an officer in Juneau, and that's going to be much different than being an officer in, let's say, Hoonah, right?
Right.
So they're all different. Or if you went the federal route, you know, working for a Border Patrol would be much different. They're all police officers. They're all hiring, but they really give a different experience.
Yeah.
And the little niche that I think JPD hires is Juneau is a very supportive, welcoming committee when it comes to our law enforcement officers. And we police a little differently. I remember our previous chief, Johnson, was talking about he'd go on ride-alongs and be like, oh, you know, the officer's going to act. But then we would continue to talk to try to get, you know, compliance before you'd act. And he was just always impressed with just the amount of respect and communications we had with the people. And I think one of the reasons why that's the case is because, hold your hat, this is going to sound weird, but 100% of the officers that work at JPD live in Juneau.
Yeah, and that's unusual, right?
And that's actually that's unusual.
Very,
yeah.
Very unusual. When I say most that, police officers live in different towns
exactly.
than that they work in.
And when I say that to some people, yeah. some people look at me like, where else are they going to live? And I'm like, yeah. exactly. But yeah. for the vast majority of the United States, even in places like Anchorage or Fairbanks, they live someplace else.
Yeah.
And when you live in one community and police in another, it changes that dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, whereas sure. here you see people at Costco and at church and at volleyball and at softball
yeah.
and, you know, I love Perseverance Theater. I go there all the time. I see people. I interact with Perseverance Theater.
Yeah.
Well, because they were your previous guests. I listened to it, right?
Right.
So it's the kind of thing where, you know, there is really no anonymity. When I walk into a store,
yeah.
people know that I'm a police officer.
Right.
Right. So even when I'm off duty, I have to be aware of how I interact and how I talk to people because there is no anonymity. And I think that builds like that trust and that relationship to get people. So we have a tremendously supportive community. We have a lot of options that other agencies don't have. You know, we have school resource officers, airport officers, detectives, drug cops, canines. We have ancillary duties that include, you know, SWAT and CNT and bomb disposal and polygraph and public spokesman. And there's all these different things that people can do. And, you know, what they're saying about the millennial generation is they don't want to commit to a 20, 30 year career. They only want to do like a 3 or 4 year career. Well, I think that we offer that at the Juvenile Police Department. Because like me, for example, about every 3 or 4 years, I was either promoted or transferred into a completely different assignment.
Different area.
Yeah. So like when I worked patrol, that was different than when I worked narcotics. And when it was different when I became a sergeant or when I became a lieutenant, you know, and or when I worked community services. So all these things are different. So I think that you can have a very varied career that spans a long period of time where you're with the same organization, you have the same benefits, you have the same retirement, you start getting up on the pay matrix and all those things, you know, happen, and you have this varied experience that people want all within the same organization.
That's great.
And I don't think we've done a good job of explaining that to people.
Yeah.
You know, because I know people who do work in some of the smaller communities in like, say, Southeast Alaska, and if you get hired by them, you're a patrol officer.
Yeah.
And unless someone dies or retired, that's all you're going to be as a patrol officer. And then you become a sergeant. You don't have the ability to work permanent detectives or permanent, you know, drugs or, you know, permanent schools.
Right.
You know,
right.
And do that in a city where, you know, you still have a Perseverance Theater and a Costco and a Home Depot and a regional university and a regional hospital and all the infrastructure things that we have here. But on the same token, you're not living in a place like, you know, Seattle or, you know, Spokane or Anchorage or these bigger cities, you know. So I think we just need to get that word out. I would love it if people listening to us, you know, on the radio would help get the word out because, you know, the old saying is you get the police that you settle for. Well, everybody that's listening to us potentially could be affected by the quality of their police department.
Yeah.
So let's get the word out. Let's get people hired. Let's get people in the building. And I just think Juneau is really special. You know, I came from Anchorage originally.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know? And when I came in 95, we were fully staffed. They had 3 positions that were brought on by a COPS grant. And I was told after 3 years, if you don't make your own permanent status, we're going to let you go. And I came anyway. It was a different time as far as you know, getting hired on as a police officer. But I came here thinking 3 years and then I was go back to Anchorage and be next with my family or join the FBI or something like that. I just fell in love with Juneau. So I'm thinking if we can just get people here, get them, you know, into the community, get them invested in the community, that you know, we can keep people here because it really is a special community and a special police department.
Absolutely. And you can what's the website for the recruitment again?
It's joinjpd.com.
Joinjpd.com.
Pretty easy to remember.
And you can also go to juneau.org/police.
Right. And if you yourself don't want to be the police officer,
give the website to somebody
maybe
else.
You know somebody else who does.
Yeah.
You know, I came pretty late. I got hired on when I was 28 years old. I never thought about it until my wife said, hey, why don't you think about becoming a police officer? You know, and one of our detectives drove for the city bus came on to be a police officer in his 40s. You know, so we do have people that come in and do second careers with us or third careers, and it just has so much benefit, and it really is worthwhile, and it's a rewarding job, and I just can't speak highly.
I love it. I love the enthusiasm. And I joined jpd.com. Yeah. So I want to do just 2 quick announcements here. So we talked about this last month, but I know that the fentanyl awareness presentation is tonight.
It's tonight at the police department. It's for the Alaska Fentanyl Awareness Project. It starts at 5 p.m. tonight at the police department. They've given presentations in like Fairbanks, Anchorage, and a few other places. And it's all about fentanyl awareness because, you know, the more information you have, the more likely it is you're going to be able to protect yourself and be safe. And there's going to be a presentation followed by, you know, examples on how to use the kits in order to, if someone is having a fentanyl overdose, to help, you know, rescue them or save them. So it's going to be a pretty good a pretty good presentation, I think.
And I just want to mention this briefly because we're out of time for this segment. But we have a new canine in town, and
not quite yet.
But I remember hearing that the puppy has been picked up and
our canine officer is currently traveling to meet. He's already met the dog, but to basically go through the multi-week trainings that the dog goes through, and then they'll be bringing it back. The dog is a yellow lab or a golden lab, and the dog's name is Dax.
Dax.
Which I love because that's a Star Trek character.
Yeah,
that's a total great Trekkie, name. It's a great name.
That's a great name. We'll be following Dax along his journeys to Juno, so that'll be pretty fun. I think that should be like its whole Instagram on its own.
I agree. But
Deputy Chief David Campbell from the Juno Police Department, thanks so much for coming in today and giving us an update. And if you are interested in helping somebody learn how to become a police officer, or become one yourself, join jpd.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Up next, a fantastic opportunity to get out tonight and hear some Zimbabwean marimbas downtown. We'll hear all about it next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm Boston Christopher. Tonight, the place to be is the Sealaska Heritage Plaza for some marimba magic from local group. And say the name of the group for me, Betsy.
Injuzu.
Injuzu Marimba Band. It's a no-cost concert with donations gratefully accepted, of course.
Very, very gratefully, yes.
And who are we listening to right now again?
Right now, this is Polyphony Marimba.
Yes, and apparently, I didn't know this when I chose this song for today, but...
Two of the members from Polyphony are playing with us tonight. So they're leaving, and they're leaving very shortly for a nationwide tour.
Oh,
nice. They play all around the country. And Jessie Larson comes up and teaches quite often here. She's been here for the last few months.
That's so
and,
good.
And Raven Swing is here, who's really phenomenal. They're both phenomenal players, but his dad made the instruments that we are playing. They're just gorgeous. The marimbas themselves are beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
To look at,
and I forgot to mention, but I am talking to local legend Betsy Sims.
Legend is a bit of a stretch.
Now, you are the organizer of the band, right?
Yes.
Pretty much you sort of make it happen. And,
and I attempt to play.
You do play. I've seen you. Well, gonna cheese Betsy for being here today live in the studio, especially since the concert's like happening in like a couple hours.
Yes, I'm going to go get the van and pack up the instruments. They fill the entire van.
It's amazing when
they're
I've seen
big.
Yeah, they're very big. We're going to get into the difference of those in just a second. But I just want to mention to people that this is a perfect thing to stick around after work downtown, or if you're not downtown, come downtown after work, grab a little food, and then head over to the plaza. It's right between the Sealaska building and the arts campus. It's right there. It's that big plaza that's right there. That a lot of events are starting to happen at. It's a perfect outdoor event
for
this particular thing. And enjoy some awesome marimbas. So now, Betsy, this band has been around a long time, right?
Yeah. It's been Annie Gazelle originally got the instruments when she first created the canvas.
Oh, wow.
Back
okay.
Many years ago.
And this is, I think it's like 10, isn't it like 10 years at least?
At least.
Or something? Yeah, maybe 15.
It's longer
like it's
than
been
that.
Around
yeah, it's
a
been
long
a while.
Time.
And they've come and gone and... You know, we've had the band going for a while, but it takes close to a year. When someone comes in to play in the band, it takes about a year to get them up to speed.
Wow.
And right now we have a bunch of people who have been playing now for about a year. And Shelley Delaney is one of them.
Shelley Delaney, yep. Former KTO colleague.
Yep.
How many people are in the band?
There's only seven right now.
Okay.
But tonight we have a whole bunch of others. We have Jesse and Raven who are joining us from New Mexico and Portland, and then we have M. Eason who kind of grew up. here playing marimbas and played in the band and was our kind of music director for a while, who's off at school, but she's back now too.
Oh, that's so fun.
And extra fun. So there's seven major regular band members. We have those three joining us. And then we just, Jesse just finished teaching a couple, a community class for the past couple months. And the beginning of the show is going to be those guys playing their three songs that they learned in the class.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can see going from, I mean, they've all done a little bit of playing before, but this is stuff they've just learned in the past few months. And it's, even if, like, we do stuff that's 90 miles an hour and all kinds of crazy things going on and ridiculous arrangements. But these guys are doing a much simpler thing, and it's no less gorgeous and beautiful. It's just so fun to watch.
And it starts right at 6:30 tonight,
right? 6:30.
Okay, 6:30 tonight. You want to be at Sea Alaska Heritage Plaza for this. So how often does the band perform?
Not as often as we'd like.
Yeah.
First of all, getting all of us together is a challenge.
Yeah.
But we're available for things. If, you know, we've played some.
I know you played some like event. You've played big events.
We played like Innovation Summit with JADC, and there's some other things. But we are, if anybody loves the music, we would love to come and play.
And I know you also have some upcoming workshops that you wanted to mention. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, we just finished a whole bunch of workshops with Jesse. And this music is all from Zimbabwe. The instruments were created in Zimbabwe to play tunes from these instruments called imbiras from around the country. And so we have learned a lot of what we do from Zimbabwean artists. We've gone to them. They've come to us. And Jesse is not Zimbabwean, but was raised with, you know, with the music and working with many, many people from Zimbabwe. And we have a Zimbabwean coming in August who's stunning. He was here before the pandemic. His name is Michael Sibanda.
Okay.
And he'll do some concerts, but he was only here for 2 weeks. But I'm going to try to get as many workshops in as possible. He's really fun. He's an incredible performer, incredible writer. We perform one of his songs that we'll do tonight.
Oh,
and,
great.
And he'll be teaching and drumming and dancing. There'll be all kinds of opportunities. So if people are interested, I'll give you the email address.
Yeah. Okay. Give me the email address. I'll put it on our website. You can give it out now if you want to. That's sure. How people would get in touch with you, right?
Sure. Yeah. It's just Juno Marimbas and everybody here knows how to spell Juno, which is nice. JunoMarimbas@gmail.com.
JunoMarimbas@gmail. And that is how you get all the information.
Yep.
All right, is there anywhere to follow you online or anything? Like, when do we know you're going to perform?
I have a big mailing list.
Okay. So you want to email and get on the mailing list.
Yeah. And if anybody comes tonight, you can sign up for the mailing list and I'll let you know if there's classes or if we're playing out or whatever.
Awesome.
Or they can just send a note to that email.
Okay, great. And that's also, if people want to get involved in maybe being somebody who's playing in the band, they can also email junomarimbas@gmail.com.
Yep. Okay, and we have a lot of times that happens. People are just like, we want to play in the band.
We want to get in.
I'm like, you can't start in the band. I said, but you can start playing and work up to that.
Absolutely.
So
that is so cool. Betsy Sims in Juzu.
In Juzu, it means water spirit, which is very perfect in there. Place like this with so much water.
Awesome. And Juzu Marimba Band tonight, 6:30 p.m. at Sea Alaska Heritage Plaza. Be there.
Exactly. Be there. Thank
Thanks
you.
So much, Betsy.
Thanks, Boston.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, a preview of a wildlife cruise fundraiser to benefit scholarships for women from PEO Chapter G. Plus, we'll find out the selections of the Kathy Ruddy Awards, and we'll meet the new UAS Chancellor, Aparna Palmer. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening.